done it. You found the Debt Street Podcast, where our guests from across the financial landscape discuss their exciting careers, their hard-won insights, and how they are helping clients turn debt into assets. And now, here's Carol from Derivative Logic to bring you today's episode with our special guest, Adam Lancaster from Stitch.
So our guest today is someone who has built a highly successful business that is all about helping people with making optimal decisions with their real estate investments, whether it is their home or rental property. I'm extremely excited to introduce you to Adam Lancaster from Stitch. Adam, welcome to Debt Street.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be here, Carol.
So we are very excited to hear about Stitch, but before we dive into what Stitch does, I would like to dig a little bit into your past. What was life like before you start Stitch?
Oh man, that's a great question. And there's a lot of color there and I'm happy to jump into it. I grew up in the industry. I grew up in construction and had plans even as a 13, 14 year old kid, believe it or not, to be in real estate or construction. And I didn't even know, I'm not even sure I knew what that meant at the time, to be honest with you, but I just started thinking about it. And so I got an undergraduate degree in construction. I took as many quote unquote internships as I could. I called them internships. Really, I was getting as many 4 month long jobs in different types of construction and real estate as I could as an undergrad, just to figure out where I was going to find a home. When I graduated undergrad, I jumped right into flipping homes and I took over an excavation business. My dad had recently sold his sand and gravel operation up in Wyoming, and so I rented some equipment from him. I started digging basements for people and building roads and flipping homes and got the bug. I just really, really kind of fell in love with the real estate transaction and with the thought of building. And so from there, you know, I realized that I needed to take it a little bit more serious. I wasn't going to really feed a family very well by flipping a onesie, twosie and having a backhoe and a dump truck. And so back and I got a graduate degree, an MBA in finance and real estate. From there, got a job at Intel in their construction and real estate department where I was a corporate controller for their multi-billion-dollar fabs. Super interesting job, and we can talk about that if it makes sense, but from there to a negotiation position at Adobe. And that itch finally just came back. I saw an opportunity to be on my own again and felt like I had the basis to do it at a larger scale in a manner that I was proud of. And so here I am, 3 years into starting my own thing and wouldn't do it any other way.
That's great. This is actually how I met Adam. Me and Adam were classmates from the MBA program, and we had a lot of fun together.
That's true. I tried to cheat off of as many tests as I could off of Carol's paper.
And Adam wasn't the only one.
that's also true. Oh man, ain't that the truth?
No recording here. You know, we're not going to go back and change any grades at this point. So tell us a little bit about Stitch. This is a very interesting concept in the way how you help people make real estate decisions, kind of the biggest decisions of their life. Very unique way and perspective that you're offering your clients. So I would love to learn a little bit about what is Stitch and how Stitch is different than just an agent, a broker, for real estate transactions.
Yeah, thanks. Stitch was born out of a couple of philosophies. Number one is that the real estate transaction is in large part the most expensive or largest component of most people's wealth, the most expensive transaction of most people's lives. And so there was this thought in my mind that maybe was underserved, meaning there was a level of service that wasn't being offered for how serious that transaction was. Secondly, that it probably wasn't optimized, whether that was in terms of data or service or knowledge. And so this philosophy of it's the largest transaction of someone's life, and it's being very underserved in terms of capability, data, whatever, and a desire to go be innovative in it. That about 3 years ago, I jumped in full time and just started testing and trying things. And so that's kind of where it was born. What it is, and it's evolved over 3 years, is today it is really settled in becoming, it is in essence a brokerage. I will just say that, but it's kind of brokerage on steroids. So an example, we've built a software system, a tool that allows you to go and search for new construction communities. And that in and of itself may not sound very appealing or sexy or even unique. Here's the unique part about it. Somewhere between 4% and 8% of all available new build inventory is listed anywhere online. Your agent can't find it. The only way you can find this is literally driving around and or going to a county and reading through their approved meeting minutes. So we have some artificial intelligence that goes through all city and county meeting minutes, finds the approved projects, parses out the locations of those projects. We send a real human out to every site to validate it. And then we have a cold calling team that calls those builders, those developers that are on the plat to validate things like pricing and lot availability and future release dates and incentives, stuff like that. So when I say we've built this tool, I want to say it's like Zillow, except that Zillow only has 4% to 5% of total lot inventory on their site. That's an example of one of the things we're doing to add tremendous value in this real estate, quote unquote, real estate brokerage transaction.
So you're bringing basically data and transparency to the community in terms of data relevant to new build. You would think that somebody would have done it, and like you know, maybe builder would have put it in Zillow. What do you think why that's not being done yet? What's the kind of roadblock?
That was my question 12 months ago. I thought it's got to be, why wouldn't a builder put this on Zillow? Why wouldn't a builder put this inventory on the MLS? Some do, and that represents the 4% to 8%. Some rely on their own brand name. There are a few brand names in the Salt Lake market, for example, Ivory Homes. There are some national brands like D.R. Horton and Century and Richmond American. They kind of rely on their own brand name and hope that people will find them through web traffic, organic search, or just brand recognition. But honestly, we are still in kind of an archaic world when it comes to the construction and development world. Most builders' websites are so old, so archaic. They don't even list their own inventory on their own websites. And so getting them to list it on Zillow or the MLS isn't going to happen.
Wow.
And
okay.
So we've just found this little niche here and honestly, the builders have been ecstatic that we have this tool because it drives more traffic to them. And so we found a nice place to play where everybody's happy. The builders are happy. Our buyer clients are happy. Anybody who really wants to feel confident that they are making the right decision on the location, that they aren't missing out on something that might be available in the future and or that is available and they just don't know about it, they can come and get that peace of mind.
That's amazing. So in terms of big goals, what do you have for this business for the next 1 to 3 years?
This particular division of our business, our anticipation is, our hope is that we can, and this is a brand new thing. We are just rolling out marketing right now. I have tested it on probably 6 or 8 beta clients where they've come in, we've used the tool. We essentially act, our revenue model on this business is that we act as the buyer's agent. These builders pay us a commission to bring a buyer. Because of my background in construction, we also offer a free, completely free service. By the way, our entire service and solution is free to any buyer who is wanting to buy or build a home. the contractors, the developers, the home building companies pay us a commission to bring a buyer. So completely free service, complete no-brainer to use us. Part of our solution is that we offer monthly site visits to come into the home and inspect the construction quality, the construction process, making sure that you are getting the home that you signed up for, that it's built per plan, per code, and per quality. And so the hope is that we will test out this model in this market. I have now relationships with data aggregators where I can get this same data in 33 other MSAs. And so if it works here, we will likely start to roll out in successive markets in places like that have really high new build inventory or new build volumes. Places like Dallas, places like Phoenix, places like Las Vegas is likely where we would roll out next after testing this in the Salt Lake market. But so far, so good.
So how about like outside the new built market, like how are you disrupting the regular, buying home that's already built from someone else?
Great question. And I had grander visions of what that should have looked like when I started. I started off kind of projecting my own feelings about the brokerage model, which is that it is a commodity. It's a low service, low intellect type of a commodity service, and that it should simply be cheaper, should be less expensive. I got into that world, and frankly, I just got my own license and I started slinging deals, and I just tested different service models, different, you know, all you can eat, or maybe a la carte, or, you know, menu based, or I tried super discount or tiered pricing. I tried it all. And what I learned is that even higher than 85% of the people that I served, it never was about price. 10% of the people out there, they really cared about price. And there's a big discount broker here in Salt Lake City that has 1-2% market share, depending on the year. By the way, they continue to decrease in their market share, which is fascinating to me. More than 80% of people choose an agent or a brokerage based off of the value they perceive. And so it took me a couple of years to prove that. Not only to prove it out with testing out these different models, but to get over my own mental blocks about that. And so, because I didn't believe it myself, I interviewed over 200 people who chose that discount broker. And almost exclusive people said, agents charge too much and they're idiots. I interviewed them at the beginning of the transaction. I interviewed them again after the transaction. Mm-hmm. And it was overwhelming. It was like 90-something percent of them said, I had no idea how important it was to have a good agent. And so I've actually started to have people from those discount brokers fire them, come over to us. So all of that means, your question was, how are you disrupting this model? The biggest mental hurdle I had to get over was that the model itself maybe doesn't need to be disrupted, but more value needs to be added. That's what I had to get over myself. And so what does that mean for us? It means when I go sit in somebody's living room, I can legitimately tell them that they have 10 or more options at their disposal if they are thinking about transacting on their home, on an investment property, on whatever. And the first three options, I don't make a dime on, by the way. So the first thing I'm going to try and convince them to do is to keep the property. I strongly believe that the seller is always wrong in real estate, meaning that over time, you will always wish that you kept your properties. That over time, values always go up, right? Now, this is the long game, but so far through history, that has proved true. So I try to convince everybody that it is in their best interest to sell. I try to convince everyone that it is in their best interest to keep their properties. So what can that look like? Well, I can show them how to creatively access the capital in their homes through creative finance or through traditional HELOCs or refinances, and still get access to their capital to go achieve what they want to achieve. And that can mean sometimes it's just that they want to move from one personal residence to another personal residence. Sometimes that means they want to move out of state. Sometimes that means they want to sell an investment and do a 1031 into another one. I educate them on how they can still achieve those goals while not losing their property. And there are 7 other ways, plus I typically bucket it into 10 options to transact on your home, or 10 different things you should be thinking about that honestly, the traditional brokerage, the traditional agent, not only doesn't even know of, but definitely doesn't know how to fulfill when it comes to transacting. I personally purchase from clients probably somewhere between 5 and 10% of the properties where I walk into their living room. And it's because I offer them something that they wanted that couldn't be fulfilled through going through a traditional transaction, through a traditional, let's list it on the MLS, let's get buyers and sellers together. And so it's not for everybody, but that's an option that works for some people. I propose novations agreements, which is a fancy word for different types of seller finance and creative finance. I have sold several properties off market to nationally backed, JPMC type banks at way higher than anything has ever sold for in those neighborhoods. And that's another option. And so I just try to educate people as much as possible on their options. And if I make money on that transaction from helping them transact or helping them through that service, great. Sometimes I don't, and that's okay, because I honestly believe this is the largest financial transaction of people's lives. It is greatly underserved, doesn't get the merit that it deserves, and it's also the largest emotional transaction of people's lives. And I find a lot of fulfillment in just being a part of that and helping them through that. And so what started off as a lot of desire to be innovative just really turned into being more valuable and helping them make the right decision, letting them pick their favorite flavor of ice cream and then walking them through it.
That's great. I think, last time when we met, I remember we had a conversation about, how sometimes you don't necessarily have to be the most innovative or the most disruptive to the market. You just need to do everything better than the next guy. And that's already enough to be disrupting the market and allow you to be different. So
exactly right. That was a hard lesson for me to learn. It was really hard. I had to, in essence, I call it when I talk to friends who I went to business school with, I call it wiping off my MBA.
Yes.
I'll be completely honest with you. I'm going to knock doors this afternoon. In about an hour, I'm going to finish this podcast and I'm going to go knock doors, because, and that's something that I think maybe, I don't know, some of my MBA colleagues or classmates would look at me like, what in the world are you? You're 41 years old. You have a high powered MBA and you are knocking doors. I am. Because I believe in this service, I believe in this model enough, and it is making a difference, and I love it.
Yeah, actually, Adam, I am here, knocking on doors every day. I cold call people, I don't think that's, you're always doing sales, right? Marketing, finance, you're always doing sales, you're selling yourself.
That's right, the proverbial knocking on doors. That's right, you are doing that.
Yeah, so that's why I invite you here, because you know so many people, and it's going to make me famous, really.
It's going to make you, I mean, that's why I look over your shoulder to cheat on tests, so I look smart, and you call me so you can look famous.
Exactly. I'm just going to get an autograph from you after everything is said and done.
Yeah,
sure. So I'm sure it's a pretty big undertaking in terms of getting a business started, being on your own, trying to be innovative, wanting to be different, and is different. During this process, was there a time that you really wasn't sure if things were going to work out, and kind of how you get yourself out of that headspace?
That's a really good question. I can think of two distinct times, maybe three. Those moments are not often very rational. You get in this position of I've got four kids, I've got a wife, and I had a mortgage payment, and I found myself at times. 2021, I had two or maybe even three different months, six-figure months, and during those months, I remember having some emotional freakouts of, is this going to work? Do these yeah. people actually like my model? Is my model going to be accepted in the market? Right.
Yeah.
Right after closing like my seventh deal, right, in 2 weeks or something stupid. And
yeah.
And so there are these boogeyman moments of you're kind of trained. You go to school, you get these jobs, you're trained to have this kind of safety. And so I have gone through those moments, whether they have been rational or not. I will say the market has shifted, and I went through that moment again. Last November, I took my wife on a hike, and I was talking to her. I said, hey, I can stick with this, and I will probably work 2 to 4 times as many hours or 2 to 4 times as much effort at least, and it's possible that I make half as much money as we've made in the last year. And I made the decision to do that. I made the decision to do that because, again, I believe in it. I love it. It's just it's baked into who I am. Those moments are real. I've watched my friends go through them. I've gone through them myself.
Yep.
I recently hired a COO and made him a partner. It has been one of the best decisions I've made. Not only for that, just mental stability, for lack of a better word, but for focus and filling in the gaps that I had myself. My growth will be so much faster personally and as a business because of that decision.
Yeah, I can see, you know, it's really hard to be kind of a one-man show, but having a partner, at least someone to pick their heads on with, and being able to know that you have someone to bounce ideas off of and can divide and conquer, that's a huge comfort. I can totally relate to that.
It really is. And it's hard. It's really hard to find the right partner, I will say. I have partnered with several people on different types of projects, whether that was a land development project. We ended up helping two people that were next door neighbors on Capitol Hill in Salt Lake City who both wanted to sell together. And they happened to be in favorable zoning for multifamily development project. We bought both of their houses. I've partnered up
mm-hmm.
with different type of people to do that type of project. I've partnered up with other people to just flip homes. I've partnered up with other people to pursue Airbnb type projects. And all different people. And it's a different, all of those guys are really good guys and gals.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't choose my flipping partner to be my operations partner. And it took the longest to find my operations partner, I'll be honest with you. That's a really hard skill set to find somebody who's available, interested, and willing to leave a corporate job and jump into entrepreneurship, who mm-hmm. matches with you in your personalities and you know, and can actually stand you for a while. And you know how hard that is, Carol.
Yeah, when I see Adam, I try to turn around the other direction. I'll come back to the same hallway 2 minutes later. I just need uh-huh. that 2 minutes to be away.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so yeah, that's been, I think, just adding the right partner, and it took years to find the right partner, but adding the right partner has been, so far, the right solution mm-hmm. for the mental boogeyman and yep. also for the right sustained growth.
Yeah. We love a good story. What's like the craziest real estate story you have that you'll be willing to share? We don't need to know the names of the individuals, but you know.
Oh my gosh. I just had like three stories rifle through my brain. One was walking in on an OnlyFans session.
Oh no.
In a house. A second. Oh. What? A second was, you know what? I probably don't need to go any deeper than that. That was just, I didn't even know how to act or contain myself or look at that person in the eye ever again.
That's funny.
In terms of like crazy horror stories with real estate, I had one of these beta clients with this new build solution that we offer, building a house in Elk Ridge, Utah, which is down south of Provo a little ways. We discovered that the foundation was cracked. And it wasn't just a little crack. The builder had cracked it and buried it. And buried it in a way that was actually kind of hard to see during our inspections. We found it during one of our routine inspections after it had been buried. And they had decided to not fix it, but to keep framing on top of the house. And it wasn't just a little like hairline crack. This was like maybe an inch or 2 inch gap.
Wow.
In the foundation wall. Okay. And it was just weird enough in this corner where you couldn't see it from the inside down in the basement. And anyway, so we, during one of our inspections, we saw it. We uncovered it in the dirt, grabbed a shovel, dug it out.
Wow.
It got bigger and bigger.
Oh,
and
no.
So immediately, you know, we flagged down the superintendent on the job and, hey, stop construction. What's amazing is that they kept building. They kept putting drywall on. They kept.
No.
Now, me as you know, the buyer client representative, of course, we didn't let it go. And they kept promising, yeah, we're going to get it fixed, whatever. They did eventually fix it. But because they kept building, when they ratcheted, they hired this engineer, had to spend a ton of money, basically built this big strap that went around that they had to dig out the entire foundation. You know, went back down 12 feet underground again, built this huge band, this metal, like steel band that went around the corner of the house and basically sucked the foundation back together. Well, if you've already framed on top of that, you can imagine what's going to happen when you suck the house in 2 inches. It made the framing, the wood,
yeah,
pop. It just popped, yeah, right? And so it actually made a square house turn into like this trapezoid, and it lifted it up off the ground and made the front room, like all of a sudden the ceiling in the front room is running uphill like 6-7 inches, something like that. And because they had already drywalled and painted and all the stuff that we told them not to do for months,
yeah,
of course they had to rip all of that out and then reframe. And so basically we built the house twice. It took 16
yeah,
months to do it, and
yeah,
ended up with a house. Of course I highly you know, I don't recommend that builder to anyone asking, and I'm not going to say it on this podcast, but if you end up being my client, I will definitely tell you who that builder is. We don't do business with them anymore. But there are horror stories like that. There are funny stories like that, like the OnlyFans story, and you just never know what you're going to get when you walk into somebody's living room. I will say that.
I would love to hear the OnlyFans story off the mic.
Offline, yep.
Okay.
I'll gladly paint that picture for you.
All right. So I guess one last question. If you could recommend one book that people should read, what would that book be and why?
Oh my gosh. I'm so addicted to these sales books. And the reason I'm so addicted to them is because I really do believe they're good books on how to be a good human.
Oh, interesting.
And so the reason I say that is to be a good salesman, it really is all about getting yourself in a mental position where you are in it to discover true problems and solve them, right? The best salespeople are not, in my opinion, salesy or salespeople. They are very good problem solvers. George Bush credits winning his candidacy to writing 5 handwritten cards every day. And that's part of our sales processes, is simply making people feel good and staying connected, right? And once you're connected with someone, you can uncover a problem to help with. I go back to, and I'm going to answer what book, and it's going to be a terrible recommendation. I don't know if people are going to listen to it, but I have to justify it first. So
yeah.
I go back to, I'm in this business because this is the largest financial transaction of most people's lives and the largest component of wealth, typically. I really want to be helpful in that. And I don't care that I have an MBA from a top 25 university, and I don't care if all of this boils down to, hey, you're just a real estate agent or a broker or whatever, because I believe in it so much. So my book recommendation is called Sales Ninja. And here's why.
Okay.
Sales Ninja, or Ninja Selling, I think is actually the title of the book.
Oh, Ninja Selling. Okay.
Ninja Selling. The reason I say that is because Ninja Selling is absolutely a Bible on learning how to communicate with people, how to listen, how to stay on top of what's going on in their lives, and not as part of a CRM, but as part of a way of just being a good human and helping them out. And by the way, when you take care of people and treat them well and they know that you care, it always comes back full circle, right? It only benefits. So that's a really crummy book recommendation, but it is what it is.
Oh, I like it. Thank you. That is a good recommendation. So everybody, we gotta start reading Sales Ninja.
Ninja Selling.
Oh, Ninja Selling. Ninja Selling. See, you got it wrong the first time. Now I got it all flipped in my head. Ninja Selling. All right. Yep. So if our listeners need help with home or real estate investment decisions or have any questions for you, how is the best way for them to get in touch with you to chat?
You can do one of two things. I have a really simple phone number. It's a corporate phone number. You can text it. It's 801-900-400-6.
Okay.
Or you can shoot me an email, adam@thestitchway.com.
Awesome. So now, Adam, anything else you want me to cover in this podcast?
If I could make one statement.
Yep.
I've learned in jumping into business that the secret is that there is no secret sauce. That it just boils down to getting in the trench and going to work. Pioneers get arrows shot in their butts. And there's so much opportunity in entrepreneurship in just jumping into a proven thing and adding more value than anyone else. 80% of the shoppers on the planet choose what to buy because it adds more value. That it's not necessarily price conscious. It's 80% of people want more value than the other. And so if you're going to offer something at the same price, add more value and you'll have tons of business. This is why I'm out knocking doors today. I have a new listing, went live this morning, 10 a.m. I had a new listing go live at noon. I attended a top 5% broker luncheon, and got honored. At 2 o'clock, I'm on a podcast. At 3:30, I'm out. I'm going to list another house, two in a day. And then at 4 o'clock, I'm out knocking doors. People choose us because of the high value that we offer. We're driving 5 to 10 times the number of people at our open houses because we are knocking doors and making personal invitations. We are doing things that others are just not willing to do. And so, go add value. There is no secret sauce. Just go get to work.
That's it. I like it. Well, thank you, Adam, so much for being on the show. And for those of you listening, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a comment wherever you're listening. That helps us to keep making the show better and better. And also make sure to send Adam your questions about making optimal decisions on your home or your real estate investment. We'll see you next time on Debt Street.
Thank you for listening into this episode of the Debt Street Podcast, brought to you by Derivative Logic Incorporated. Derivative Logic helps you get straight to smart about interest rates and how best to manage your risks. Please like and share the link to this episode with your friends and coworkers. And subscribe to be notified of upcoming episodes. If you need to stay informed about interest rates, Please go to www.derivativelogic.com and subscribe to the weekly Straight to Smart newsletter. Each edition looks at news and events of the past week, looks forward to important data soon being released, and briskly summarizes what it all means for you and your business. We look forward to welcoming you to the next episode of the Debt Street Podcast.